Authorities in China have announced that the scientists who created the world's first gene-edited babies will be punished. But Chinese scientists and legal experts say China's economic, social, and political environment helped create him. NPR's Rob Schmitz reports.
It was the autumn of 2017, and the days before China's Communist Party would meet to consolidate Xi Jinping's leadership. State broadcaster CCTV aired a series promoting China's achievements in science and technology. One was a profile of a Chinese scientist. He claimed to have invented a gene sequencing machine more advanced than those made in the West. Somebody said we shocked the world with our machine, a young man says with a proud smile. Yes, they're right. I did that. He Jianque. That's me who did that. It wasn't the last time He Jianque would shock the world. In November, as he walked across the stage to a podium in a packed Hong Kong conference hall, there was tepid, hesitant applause from an audience of his peers uncomfortable with what he was about to announce, that he had successfully edited the genes of twin girls to help them resist infection with the AIDS virus. This had never been done before, and it raised a bunch of red flags. What if this harmed other genes? And what if that damaged DNA passed on to future generations? And was it ethical to do this to babies who could never be willing participants in an experiment like this? Beijing seemed unprepared for the international backlash, and a government that had once celebrated him suddenly vowed to punish him.
I really hope that the outcome of this case doesn't conclude with punishment on an individual.
Yangyang Cheng is a particle physicist at Cornell University. She says He conducted a reckless and unethical experiment that he should face consequences for, but
there are structural, systematic, and institutional flaws behind this experiment. What created him, what incentivized him, what failed to stop him.
Cheng says He's case is a product of modern China. He Jianque grew up in a family of modest means in one of the country's poorest regions. He was surrounded by the fastest growing economy in history at a time when everyone was competing for a piece of the pie.
I think part of his motivation was that he wanted to do something that is world's first and that could give him more name recognition. In the hopes that it will bring in more investments and also more future business opportunities for his companies.
China's government promoted the same goals. It wanted Chinese companies and scientists to be the world's first and best in a range of technologies, and it encouraged them to acquire foreign technology to do it. That CCTV segment featuring He talking about his gene sequencing machine, the technology He claimed as his own, and which CCTV touted as China's own, was actually from a machine created by a company founded by his American advisor at Stanford. When the company went bankrupt, He's advisor allowed him to license his technology, says Cheng.
But regardless, this is still being seen as a Chinese company, a Chinese technology, and there is a lot of state-sponsored and government-pushed propaganda efforts behind it.
And while Beijing's push for global dominance in technology pushed He Jianque, the government's lax regulatory environment may have contributed to He's reckless gene editing experiments on live humans. So says Shanghai-based medical ethics lawyer Lu Yiguang.
There's only a few low-level laws that cover gene editing on human embryos, and none of these laws detail the consequences of violating them. This is a big flaw.
Liu hopes this case will push the government to introduce more laws. Otherwise, he says, China may see even more dangerous outcomes. Dangerous, too, is the culture that shaped He Jianque, says Tongji University professor Zhu Dake.
The Chinese way is to only think of success. We don't think of whether that path to success is legal or ethical. And you can use as many tricks as you want as long as you succeed. Every Chinese person grows up with this notion.
And there's another cultural aspect of China that scientist Yangyang Cheng says plays a big part in the case of He Jianque, the role of gender. Cheng says Lulu and Nana, apart from being twin baby girls whose DNA was altered by a male scientist, were created this way by He for an expressed reason.
The monk thought he lost the hope for the life.
At the Hong Kong conference, He Jianque said Mark, the name he uses for the father of the twins, had lost hope for life because he was HIV positive. But says He, when he altered the DNA of Mark's twin daughters to make them resistant to the virus, Mark's hope in life was restored. It's this justification that bothers scientist Yangyang Cheng the most.
He Jianque exploited the shame of the father, the desire of fatherhood, the societal expectation of how men are expected to 传宗接代, to carry on the family line.
He Jiankui remains under house arrest, awaiting punishment. China's government says it'll tighten regulations on gene editing, and Sheng's hope is that Chinese scientists and politicians look inward to reflect on how this happened and to take measures to ensure it doesn't happen again. Rob Schmitz, NPR News, Shanghai.